All right, Luke, are we ever going to get out of blind? I asked the rhetorical question, are we ever going to get out of blind?
It's up to you.
It's up to me?
Yeah. Well, it's not entirely up to you, I guess. Well, yeah, I guess it is. Even if we ask questions, you can just ignore us.
And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? I'm just going to ignore anything more about blind. Fall is, let's look at fall. Fall is pipto, P-I-P-T-O. And it means to fall or to fail. And we're going to look at two places. Let's look at Luke 16. We're talking about fall. Luke 16. Start in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Now the word fail there is this word pipto. So it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. What does that mean? It fundamentally means that the law is spiritual. Even the jots and tittles, even the, and those are the marks at the top. Are they usually the vowels?
Yeah, like dot the I, the I, the I, the A, dot the I across the T.
Yeah, that's what they use
them for. Okay, let's look at one more to fall. 1 Corinthians.
The other one's Luke 16.
Verse 13 to 17. Now 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's look at verse 8, because I missed it. Charity never faileth. Now, charity is the word agape. It's love without regard to yourself. You got that? That's the meaning of it. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall pipto. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So the whole idea, again, is talking about here it's the fall and fail. If the prophecies, they shall fail. Now, why shall the prophecies fail? Anybody? there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall not be right. They shall not be of God.
It's all time related. So once the
right.
Once you're face to face on an outside of time thing, it's
once he was resurrected and ascended to the Father, then there are no more prophecies. So all these guys who have a prophetic ministry are idiots. Prophecies, if there be prophecies, they shall fail. All right. Verse 40, back to Luke 39. Luke 6, I mean. I wish we were in Luke 39. Is there such a thing? No.
Where are we going now?
Back to Luke chapter 6. I'm always in La La Land. Verse 40.
Verse 40.
Luke 6, verse 40. Ditch is just a ditch. I don't want to go to the ditch. I'm not going to talk about ditch. Shut up, Jacinta. The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Now this one is going to get us. Disciple is the one that we always, the same word always, it's mathatos. Master is just a word, didaskalo, which means a teacher. It's translated many times, teacher, doctor, master, rabbi. Perfect is kataphrezo. It means sound, complete, to be made fit for its purpose or use. It can also mean have been formed. Let's look at perfect. Let's go to Romans 9. And this is where the word perfect means, it means that they're fitted for they're complete for what their purpose is, okay? That's what perfect means. So let's start verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now in verse 22, the word fitted, the vessels of wrath, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So they have completed their purpose. Their purpose was to be fitted to destruction. They were perfect for destruction.
Wow.
So again, we've talked about there are only two things left, the bride and the whore, the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. Both are fitted, are perfect for what their purpose was. Now, what's a vessel?
Perfect is the word fitted?
Huh?
The word perfect is the word fitted?
Yeah, it's a different word from what a lot of times we talk
about.
Yeah,
the word that we normally talk teleos. About for perfect is teleos, yeah. Which means fully tested. This means they are fitted or perfect for what they were intended to be. The vessels of wrath are fitted or perfect for destruction. The vessels of mercy are fitted or perfect for life. Now, all this came about, you could easily say with the same word, that as a result of the fall, Adam is fitted for destruction. Adam, the man, the human race, is fitted for destruction. There's no way out. Everybody understand this? Anybody? It seems this would be something where you'd have some kind of question about predestination or something.
We're not that clever.
What's going on, Mr. Chisholm?
Bastard, that Adam. You know, he's a bastard. Son of a bitch. I would like to blame him, but I can't.
Well, that's what you should call your mind.
Yes. That I can blame.
It's fitted for destruction.
Yes.
It's perfect for destruction. And if you understand, it was destroyed at the cross. You've always been a vessel for deity. The question is, which deity? The only purpose of man is to be a vessel. As a result of the fall, he was a vessel fitted for destruction. Now you were fitted for destruction, and you accepted your death. The vessels of wrath breathe life into the evil one, and are continually fitted for destruction. This is why abandonment or repentance is the only way out, because then you are fitted, you're now a vessel for the Holy One. But it only comes in your abandonment. There's no in between. There's either total abandonment or total destruction.
And it goes back to that thing about the master. You know, it's like if your master is Satan, which is Adam's, you know, like the whole flesh is, you know, is fitted for that. You know, if you want to be that, you're there.
And his mercy is always, that's what we read yesterday in Isaiah 9. His hand is still outstretched. It's always outstretched. If you come to the end of yourself, there he is. But if you still lean on your own arm of understanding, if you are one who is wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayeth not, there is no hope, for you found the life of your own hand, therefore you were not grieved. This is the great dividing line. This is the thing. There's only two environments. There's only the environment of eternity or the environment of time and space. If you're in the environment of time and space, you're fitted for destruction. If you're in the environment of eternity, you're seated with him in the mercy seat, then you're fitted for life. Now, who's sufficient for these things? All you have to do is admit your own stupidity. All you have to do, there's nothing really. You certainly have enough evidence of your life. So then why would you continue using this evil one for his purpose? Well, I can't help it. It just happens. No. Or, well, I'm going to continue doing it and God will show me. No. All abandonment or all fitted for destruction. No middle ground. Now, if you can understand that, if that can apprehend you, then you can then the scriptures become easy. They become life. And life becomes simple. Because you have no investment in the outcome. You just rest in Him.
Well, waiting on Him would be one of faith and one of spirit, right? Versus immediate gratification.
It's always the same thing. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them, because they're His works. This is the hallmark. This is the linchpin. This is the cornerstone. Amen?
Mm-hmm. That Isaiah thing, on one hand you have you're finding the life in your own hand, on the other hand, which is what you do, really. You know, it's like my life is, I'm able to get something out of what I'm doing. And the other one is what you just read, which is the works follow rather than you getting life out of them.
Okay, let's go to Galatians 6. That's verse 1. Yeah. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, anybody know which this word katarizo is? Sound complete, fit? And what we read?
No.
I don't either. I have to.
That was funny.
Ye which are spiritual.
I have to go back to my notes to figure that one out.
Sometimes I write down the wrong number.
That's what I may have done.
Yeah.
But if you're really, really good, you can make it fit in.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Just make up crap.
Okay, let's go to Matthew 10.
There's always a connection.
Matthew 10. The connection, if it was there, I couldn't find it. Matthew 10. I can't believe I did that.
It was verse 1, the word spiritual.
You'll think about it later and you'll figure it out.
Again, verse 24. We're going to read Matthew 24 through 28. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, the reason we're studying this is not because of here, because of perfect. It's because about the disciple is not above the master. That's why I got confused. All right, let's go to another, John 13.
This is kind of a revolutionary kind of way of thinking. servant is, it's like, surely the master guy has more access to knowledge and all that. But what he's saying is you have equal access, but you also have equal access to the suffering.
Amen.
It's a package.
Okay, now it's John 13, verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. So I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So again, it's an issue of servanthood. You must be the servant. That's your role in life. Amen? All right, let's go to John 15. Again, we're talking about that you will be as he. Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will I do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and the Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And again, as we said so often there, it says, he shall testify only of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They that shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Again, don't be surprised. The servant is not greater than his master. What they've done to the master, they'll do unto you. And the access to God that he has, you have. There's no difference. There's only oneness. All right, let's go to Acts 8.
You know, there's parables, and then there's just straight clarity.
Amen. This is talking about Saul and what he did to the disciples. In verse 1. No, excuse me, I got the wrong one. Well, it's about Saul. This is at the end, the martyrdom of Stephen. In chapter 7:60, it says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Now, just stop a minute and think about that. He was offended in the worst possible way of being offended. He was murdered without reason. And his instant response was, forgive them. How can you possibly be offended by anybody and not forgive them? How can anybody, how can there be an offense to a disciple? And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. So again, here we have an example of being killed and think they're doing God holy service. And John, where it says, and they think they did God service, the word service is that strange word, laetry, that means the holy service in the temple. The holiest possible service to these guys was to kill Stephen. And to Paul was to kill Stephen. They laid Stephen's cloak at Saul's feet. That's the evidence that he had been the prosecuting. He was at the place of the prosecuting attorney, and he lost in the debate, and he knew it. So then he's on his way. This is troubling him, because Paul said, can you imagine him saying, he was the one that was persecuting and prosecuting Stephen. And then Stephen says, forgive them, Father. Just think of what that would do on your mind. And then he had the orders to go to Damascus and arrest and possibly kill more of the disciples. The voice from heaven came saying, Saul, Saul, why? How long will you resist the divine impulse? And Stephen's death is directly, in my opinion, responsible for Saul's conversion. Without Stephen's death, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament.
Yeah, that forgiveness and the debate, and then the forgiveness at the end had to be working on.
Oh, God.
Throughout the whole process.
Let's see one more real quick. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then they were the days of unleavened bread. Now, again, Herod thought he was doing God holy service by killing James. We don't know what James' response was, but I'm sure it was the same as Stephen's was. Father, forgive them. The disciple then, that's what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. How can you possibly be offended by anything or by anyone? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're studying the disciple. Well, I forgot what this ends. We're studying verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You'll be as his master in access to God, and you'll be as his master, as your master in suffering and possible death and persecution.
And
never be offended.
Those who are doing it. That's
Amen.
The thing, just like Jesus was saying.
But my point is, that's the maximum thing that can be done to offend you. And we have those three examples. And Julian's more. How can you be offended by what somebody says or does? Anything. Amen? So what does that say? If you're offended, it has nothing to do with the person that is offending you. It has everything to do with you.
That's Bastard Adam.
Because you have allowed the evil one to be resurrected in you. You continue to be a vessel for deity, but which God are you serving? Buddy, understand perfectly? Take a big guy. Well, we have.